The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, the weekend's almost here, which means lots of betting and lots of football and lots of fun. Let's do this. It's a Friday Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
It's Friday Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Weekend Friday Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, partying, yeah. Partying, partying, yeah. Fun, 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 fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Friday. I know the weather kind of sucks, but it's going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah, man.
Cannot wait.
It's Friday. I don't even care what else is going on.
Exactly.
It's going to be a good day. It's Friday.
It's kind of fun seeing people wandering around here dressed in Halloween outfits, too.
You like that? I think they all look like a bunch of a-holes.
I think some of them do, but I thought Esme as the Energizer Bunny was pretty cool.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a positive.
Why didn't you dress up?
I am dressed up.
Oh, okay.
I'm dressed up like somebody who knows what he's doing. So,
oh.
I'm faking it again, as usual. But, man, it's good to be back. I hate missing shows, but thought you guys did great yesterday. I got to listen to some of it, and appreciate Barry filling in. So,
what was your favorite part? Did you like hearing about David Philpott's sex ventures?
Yeah, I have kind of a I thought it a little too much Philpott for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think by the middle of the second segment, I'm kind of like, all right. But it was very funny.
I wish he would have given more.
Well, that's the thing. He wouldn't really go into details.
Yeah, he doesn't like to talk about his sex life,
like,
which is,
man,
very disappointing.
You're going to come on the air here, you got to answer all the questions.
Yeah.
This is like a...
People are dying to know.
This is an AMA situation, right? And
yep.
You have to answer. So, anyway. But, no, I thought you guys did great and enjoyed what I got to hear. And it was sucked, but that's life, man. You know, we had my kid's grandmother passed away, who's my ex-mother-in-law. And actually, wonderful woman. And yeah, the kids weren't handling it real well because she helped raise them. So I just wanted to go and spend some time with them afterwards and cheer them up and tell really stupid jokes, and it worked. So
okay.
That's what it was. So I would have much rather been here. I hate funerals. It's like dentists. Anybody that tells you they want to go, they're lying. So
yeah.
Anyway, got to watch some football last night though.
Oh, I did too, man. I'm getting so okay. Full disclosure, I went 2-1 last night on the games. Also, full disclosure, all three of those games were three of my... I play in that pool thing where I
right.
pick five games every week against the spread, and you got to go 5 for 5 to win the pot. So all three of my plays last night were three of my best plays of the week. And it's the worst when you feel like you handicapped everything right, and then it seems like the refs just don't want you to win. And I hate to be that guy, but I was really feeling that last night. And then it felt like they forced Oregon back into that game. And then the touchdown call at the end of the game, at the end of in overtime,
yeah,
when they went and reviewed it. And it was pretty clearly not a touchdown. And then they came back and said, the call stands. If I had any hair, it would have been pulled out. I was losing my mind. And, you know, like I said, 2-1, made some money last night. It's not the end of the world. But it's very frustrating. Mm. And it makes me want to not bet on football or like take a break. Yeah. But then you start thinking about it, and you're like, man, football season's too short. You can't really take a break. Because if you take a break, you're going to run out of football, and then you're going to be like, oh, now what? You know, and I do have basketball season, college basketball season.
Yeah, and you bet quite a bit on that.
But I like to bet on football, but I just wish the season was longer so I could take a break, because that's what I need, I think.
I went 1-1. I hammered the pay, but it was a good 1-1 because it was a max bet and a min bet loss. A max bet win, min bet loss.
Okay.
So I hammered the Patriots last night and had a min bet on Pitt at home. Getting
close. I had North Carolina. Yeah. That was the third of my three.
Ah.
So.
But that's why I was a min bet, though. I just was playing the home dog thing, and it didn't work out.
Dude, Willie's rules.
Willie's rules?
Pitt was ranked, and they were the underdogs.
Hmm.
North Carolina was the favorite, not ranked. You know this, Fred. Are you paying attention on these things?
Yes, I am. But okay. But I also...
Yeah, didn't you hear Willie's whistle there? Come on.
No, I didn't hear Willie's whistle because he wasn't on yesterday.
I know, but I thought you would know that.
No, I know that rule, but I don't...
You said
religiously follow rules.
F that rule.
No, I thought that I thought those were two very even teams, and getting points in that situation, I'm going to take it. But I probably won't be betting anything else this weekend simply because I've spent so much time handicapping the damn horse races. That's an ordeal, and even just writing about the four races today took me like 2 hours, especially because I'm not gonna get on it. But that stupid site that I write for, that you used to write for, I'm 95% done with it this morning, and it just disappears. And there's no save function in that thing. And yeah, and if you're one of those people who read it, there's a lot of information in there. So I had to go back and do it again. It wound up taking me 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I'm going to turf up those guys. I really am. It's just
I'm so glad to be done with it.
Yeah, I'm going to find another way to do it. I'm thinking about just doing my own website.
Yeah, that's what I thought about doing too. And my wife was like, "You remember when you had a website and how much work it was and how much you hated it?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm just not going to do that."
Oh yeah, I'll just put one that we can all write for, and put one together that way you don't have to deal with it.
Yeah,
but
I'm so lazy.
See, I
just want to do the radio show.
I like doing stuff like that during the day. It gives me something else to do, but I don't like having to do it twice.
Yeah,
that's that. When it's there's no reason for it, and I finally got
a long time ago. I'll do that on a notepad, and then I'll transfer it over.
That's what I'm doing from now on. I'm just going to write it in Google Drive and move it over.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. But that Patriot train just rolls on and goes to show you that maybe Dan Campbell, part of that might have been the Titans and the Texans.
Yeah, that's a big help. It's easy to look like a superhero when you play the Texans, but. I still think the Dolphins are pretty good. I just don't think they're anywhere near as good as that team.
No, and they're certainly better than what they showed early when they had a completely incompetent coach who inspired no one. But they're clearly not as good as they've looked the last 2 weeks. Part of that was just the competition. And you had two teams that quit, frankly. And that's when things get ugly.
Well, we were talking about this last week with somebody that there, or maybe it was this week, somebody who called the Texans an average team. The Dolphins, like I said, the Dolphins are the epitome of an average team. They're good enough that they're going to make the crappy teams look really crappy, which they did. And they're bad enough that a really good team will make them look crappy. So that's where they sit. They're in the middle. The Dolphins are a mediocre, average team. The Texans, they are not average.
They're a bad team.
They're a bad team.
And to their credit, there's a lot of bad teams in the league.
Oh, yeah.
There really are. So they fit in with a lot of.
Yeah, they're not the only ones. There's three bad teams in that division.
Yeah. I think there's four bad teams in that division.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
How about this? There's definitely no good teams in that division.
No,
At best, there's an average team and three bad teams. At worst, there's four bad teams.
Yeah.
But that is easily the worst division in football. And that's saying a lot. I mean, there's some bad ones out there. I mean, the NFC East, that's a division that nobody seems to want to win. But, you know, it's still, I'd take, you could line those up four, you know, one by one, first place to first place, and go down the line, and I would take the NFC East in every matchup.
I think I would, too. Well, we've got a lot of guests today. Christopher Harris at 4:30 to do our fantasy. RJ Bell at 5:30, as always. Barry Abrams, who does the In the Gate podcast on ESPN, is going to talk a little bit about the Breeders' Cup with us at 6:15. And at 6:30, We have Mike Greenberg, who I spoke with this morning, came in and recorded that. It's very interesting.
Look at you.
Yeah.
What'd you guys talk about?
You know what? I asked him about the social media journalism thing, because I mean, he's a Northwestern grad, and he had a lot of good stuff to say about it. And then his take on the Texans. I think Texans fans won't like it. And then he's one of those guys that once he gets going, he won't, you know, he keeps talking about other stuff.
Right.
So it wound up going longer than it was supposed to. But he had a lot of nice things to say about Carlos Correa, who was on their show. So,
all right.
So we have all that today. So if you want to get in, next segment's probably going to be your best chance. 713-780-3776. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And some breaking news on your A&M quarterback. I know you're very excited.
Yeah. Looks like Kyler Murray, who still has me blocked on Twitter, will be starting on Saturday. First career start. This after apparently he dog cussed Jake Spavital and they had to go to the third string guy. I mean, it's we talked about this last week. It's gotten to be kind of a mess down there at College Station as far as those quarterbacks go, and
I guess it's up there, technically.
Okay. Well, I don't know if this is going to fix it, make it worse. I don't know what happens. But it's a change, so I guess it's worth noting.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a bad look because – and you saw this coming when on, I guess, Tuesday. Maybe it was Monday or Tuesday where they said they're reopening the quarterback competition exactly a year to the day that they had to do it last year. Remember Kenny Thrill?
Yep.
Yeah. And so when you do that, clearly you're going to put Murray in there, and you've got to come up with some way to do it where you don't look bad because it looked like the kid pouted his way into the job.
Yeah.
And it's not like Allen's been any good, so I think a change is a good thing, but I just think this is kind of a bad look for the whole program, and I hope he does a good job. I understand him being disappointed, and who wouldn't be, especially if you were promised something. But this whole thing has been handled very poorly.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's, I don't know. Maybe if it works, if he can play, if he plays well, then
fine.
It starts to normalize a little bit.
Yeah.
But if he goes out and he has a bad game, which, although, I mean, I guess this is the best time to throw him out there. You know, South Carolina's bad.
Yeah.
So he should conceivably play well. I mean, that's what you would expect him to play well. So maybe this is a good time to throw him out there and kind of give him the reins. And is it fair that Allen had to play against the two best teams and had to look like crap and not have a backup to be able to come in? Yeah, maybe not, but that's the way it worked out. So you're right. It is kind of a bad look, but if it works, then they're not going to care.
No, and I hope it does work. He's an exciting kid, and I hope he – I always like it when all the Texas teams are doing well, and I'd like to see them win some games coming in. But I especially the way their season went last year where they started off so well and then fell apart, I hope that's not where they're headed this year.
Yeah.
And it very well could be. But we'll find out. I hope he plays well. I know a lot of Aggie fans want to see him, so you get what you want.
Yep.
At least it's not nearly as bad as the way that the Texans and Ryan Leaflet thing ended. So there is that. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. And you know what? We ought to swing our college picks in here because usually we do them at 4:30, but we're going to have Christopher Harris since we didn't have him yesterday. I don't have a lot of stuff that I love this weekend. I will be on – I like Rice tonight to cover at home.
Okay.
that line is a little higher than it should be. So I'll take the Owls as my first pick.
I gotta pull up the lines. I don't even have mine written out. I don't know what my problem is. John, you can go ahead if you want. I'll pull up my my notes from this week.
Did I catch everybody by surprise?
Yeah.
Sorry. But just looking at, well, we got Christopher Harris at 4:30. So I guess we can do it at 4:45.
Yeah,
let's do it at 4:45. All right, well, I'll give you Rice now because I don't
know. So I can go through my notes and pick out my three best.
Yeah, 10.5 Rice is getting right now at home against Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech's a very good football team, but I don't think they're 10.5 points better than Rice. Yeah, at Rice, anyway.
Right.
Especially if you start getting all this rain and crap that's supposed to be coming in tonight. So, that's one. Yeah, we'll do them at 4:45.
Okay.
See, I'm off my game. See what happens with one day. Gone for one day. Come back and suck. you see the World Series going any differently?
I really don't. I don't think the Mets are going to get swept, but I think it could be 5.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that they came out and they took it to Harvey and DeGrom, who have been basically untouchable, it makes me think that it ain't going to work out, because that team is a team that's built on pitching, and the pitching has not been good enough for them.
John, you're flashing that shirt. What's up with that?
We got the Michelle brought back some Blitz t-shirts from the co-op store.
Oh, good.
Nice.
And look who sold in. Huh?
Did she buy? She brought us some?
Yes.
Nice.
Lovely. I can't believe it.
Look who is here. David Dalotti is
still
in the
alive.
House.
Yeah, use this microphone, David. Things have been breaking more than ever since you left.
Yeah, it's not going well. Hey, thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Nice.
That's wonderful. Oh,
my favorite color.
These smell horrible. Yeah, what's going on?
They've got to be washed.
Ugh.
Ugh. It's a what trick? Oh, gross.
Ugh.
Vinegar is like
I hate
one
vinegar.
Of my worst smells in the world. Malt vinegar is the worst. And when I was in college, I worked at a bar. No, not that one. You're on, though, Dalotti. When I was in college, I worked at a bar. It was like a Fox and Hound. And I bartended. But anytime people would order fish and chips, it seems like almost inevitably they'd knock over that malt vinegar and it would bust on the floor. And so even from behind the bar, which there's a lot of gross smells behind a bar, but from across the restaurant, you can smell that stuff, and it makes it – it's like cat piss to me. It's like the –
I'm exactly the same way, and my wife tries to put it in everything she cooks, and I just tell her, hey, man, if you put that in there, I ain't eating it.
No.
Stuff,
I'm leaving the house.
That is some gross crap.
David Dalotti, what are you doing here?
Hey, how are you? I'm not a big vinegar guy either. One of the reasons I'm not a big wine guy, some of it's just too vinegary to me.
Okay.
If it's light. Anyway, I'm doing good. You?
We're doing all right, man.
Yeah.
What brings you into the studio? We haven't seen you here in a coon's age.
I'm trying to fix technical issues. Some folks keep complaining they can't hear the sound bites, and we can't figure out why.
Well, okay. Did you guys get any closer on this?
No.
Hmm. Well,
but we're working on
that.
It.
It's a work in progress.
It has been a constant string of complaints about your updates, I have to say, both on Twitter and via the text line.
What's going on? What are you going to come in here and update us with today? Because there's really nothing
going on,
right?
Oh, I don't know. Well, you mentioned one of the things, the A&M quarterback situation. Warriors are in town tonight.
Are you going to that game?
No, I'll watch that game.
Okay.
A couple of the guys that are out for the Texans this weekend. Just little stuff here and there.
Because if you went to that Warriors game, you'd go there to get sound and no one would ever hear it. So I was just going to say, you probably shouldn't go.
Yeah.
Let's hear what Steph Curry had to say about his 48-point game. Yeah. There you go. We just did your update for you.
Yeah.
World Series game tonight, you know.
Are you? Have you been watching?
Yeah, I have.
I know you're a baseball guy.
Yeah, not every pitch or anything, but yeah, obviously watching. And you know, the Royals and Mets, well, the Royals more than the Mets. It's keep going back to this, and it's not baseball season, so I'm not going to beat this topic up. But I hope the Astros learn from the Royals' lesson how important it is to have guys that actually make contact once in a while in the lineup.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about necessarily getting base hits all the time, but I'm constantly
putting it in play.
Right, putting it
in
play.
Don't waste at-bats.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's wasting at-bats. And look, Astros had a great season. I mean, I'm not here to bash them, but obviously they've got to get away. They got to take some strikeouts out of that lineup next season. Valbuena, Chris Carter. And I wasn't too impressed with A.J. Hinch leaving Gattis in against right-handed starters for the entire playoffs when you had options.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, back to football talk.
Yeah. Well, you think the Royals are going to win the whole thing?
Oh, well, yeah, at this point. I didn't really pick a team, but I really thought it would be a 6 or 7 game series because of the Mets pitching. I mean, my God, every night they can throw a guy out there that's 95 plus, yeah. You know? So I thought that alone would extend the series, regardless of what their offense did, and then Daniel Murphy being on the roll that he's on. I thought this is a good series, 6, 7 games, but doesn't look like it now.
Well, and if you look at, you want to compare a team to the Astros, the Cubs, the only team that struck out more than the Astros this year, and they couldn't touch the Mets. But when you get a team like this that can, that doesn't waste at bats, they don't strike out, they put the ball in play, it's a different game. Your pitching can be good, but their fielding isn't very good. They're not a very good defensive team, and their lineup is suspect. Yeah, I really like the Royals.
Yeah, I like the Royals. I think they're a complete team. I did pick the Royals to beat the Astros in the playoffs. I did do that. I just for the reason you just said, I just think that they're a more complete team. And the other thing is they've got to get a power arm for the bullpen. I mentioned this on the air back right after they were kicked out of the playoffs.
You like that Wade Davis, huh?
They went after Aroldis Chapman during the before the trade deadline. The Astros did. They couldn't get that done. Maybe you try that again. Whatever. Find a power. I mean, a real. I'm not talking about Fields. I'm talking a power arm that's 95 plus consistently that blows guys away for one inning. Now, you know, you're not going to leave the guy in there for 3 innings or whatever because eventually hitters will catch up to that. But a guy that will blow guys away for one inning, they desperately need that, I think, for their for the back end of their bullpen.
All right.
Well, good to have you back, sir.
It is good to have you back, and we'll be hearing from you in just a moment. I have to tell you guys what's going on HBO. And if you guys haven't seen this yet, it's going to be HBO Sports presents Kareem, Minority of One, which is the much-anticipated documentary about Hall of Famer Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, which reveals the complexity and genius of the NBA's all-time leading scorer, both on and off the court. Don't miss Kareem, Minority of One, Tuesday, November 3rd, 9 o'clock Central Time, only on HBO. As you know, Kareem is the all-time leading scorer, over 38,000 points, 6-time MVP, world champion. It's going to be a really good film, I believe. The film's produced by Deborah Morales, who also did On the Shoulders of Giants, and it's produced by Mike Tollin, who did the Hank Aaron Chasing the Dream documentary that was Oscar-nominated, and the hit HBO series Arliss, great show, and Varsity Blues, which has the you seen that movie, Delotti, with the scene with the whipped cream?
I remember seeing the movie. I don't remember that scene.
Okay. And I don't. That doesn't even make sense. That's the only scene worth remembering.
Unless
I'm
thinking
movie.
Of the wrong movie.
Maybe so. Obviously, the HBO is the leader when it comes to these sports documentaries. They've been a trailblazer in unscripted sports reality programming for a long time, more than a decade. You've seen on Hard Knocks launched in 2001, and they do fantastic stuff with sports, and I expect this to be just as good. So tune in. It's on November 3rd. That's Tuesday. For Kareem, Minority of One. That's 9 o'clock Central Time, only on HBO.
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz Fantasy Football segment, brought to you by FanDuel. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Joining us now, as he does every week, usually on Thursdays. Sorry about that, Christopher. Our good buddy Christopher Harris runs harrisfootball.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at harrisfootball. And Christopher, I got to ask you right off the bat, because I was putting together my FanDuel lineup for the week. And it appears they've caught on to Todd Gurley. He's no longer cheap.
Yeah, I think, you know, FanDuel does a little bit better job than DraftKings with adjusting quickly to trends. Like, he is still a little too cheap on DraftKings, but I agree with you on FanDuel. He did get pricey, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, because I was very happy to have him last week, and then this week I'm going, all right, I'm going to get him. Oh, 8,100, ouch. Okay.
Well, you know, the crazy thing, like, for how amazing he's been, and you know, his three straight weeks of 150 whatever plus scrimmage yards. I think last week he was owned in about 60 or 70% of all entries on those DFS sites. If you didn't have him, you were pretty much doomed.
Yeah, that was we were joking that basically Ryan Tannehill and Lamar Miller probably won a lot of people money last week too, just from that first half against the Texans.
Yeah, not so much this week.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill won nobody money this week.
If you're crazy enough to use those guys, I mean, how do you see something like that coming? Where they just, I mean, that was just one of the most bizarre halves I think I've ever seen.
Maybe you guys, from having talked to you all season, maybe, you know, you didn't see 42-0 coming, but I think you saw a storm brewing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. And you know what? I'm not crazy about them this week. Are there, other than Hopkins, or is there anybody you'd even look at on this Texans team?
Losing Foster, I'm sure it's the fodder of all week's worth of talk. You know, I think there are going to be some desperate fantasy owners who think, you know, maybe we'll try Alfred Blue. But, you know, how healthy is he? You know, we know Chris Polk was the next guy off the bench. It feels to me like it's some kind of, you know, begging for a hot hand, and tough to know, since none of them are all that talented, which hand would actually wind up getting hot. There's an argument to be made that, you know, Brian Hoyer might have to throw a bunch, and whatever Hopkins gets you, Brian Hoyer at least is the facilitator. But I'm kind of with you. And you know, underreported, Tennessee's defense, not that bad.
Is there any value at all in Nate Washington? I know he had a bunch of garbage time points last week, but is that a cheap guy you might think about using?
You know, for DFS purposes, if he's sort of the last guy, because the prices haven't caught up on him since it really was only 1 week, and we know Shorts isn't going to play, it's not a terrible idea. But again, I find the argument that says, you know, I know exactly how game flow is going to go, and therefore it's going to benefit Nate Washington because they're going to be down early and often. Like, I mean, it's Zach Mettenberger, a quarterback. Are we really sure it's not going to be 3-0 at halftime? Like, you know, my sense is that sort of that horse has left the barn, as they say.
I was just seeing, in fact, that Russell Okung looks to be doubtful for the game against the Cowboys, which means that Greg Hardy is going to be going up against a backup, which isn't necessarily great. When you look at Seattle's offense and what they've been this year relative to what they've been in the past, are you getting less and less interested in what they're doing?
Marshawn Lynch, you know, I can't speak because we're not exactly sure what the offensive line situation is this week, but Marshawn Lynch finally turned it on, you know, against San Francisco. So I'm just fine using Lynch. Russell Wilson's been the one who's been real disappointing. We never thought any of the receivers would be any good. Jimmy Graham's been incredibly disappointing. You know, I feel like Graham you can almost get away with a little bit because, let's face it, aren't tight ends all sort of awful unless you have Gronk? You know, right. I guess Gary Barnidge is the new Gronk. You know, pretty much you're going to get a week on, a week off, and that's probably what Graham's going to be, even though we hoped he would be more than that. But with Wilson, there are other alternatives at quarterback in a lot of leagues and in DFS. And, you know, probably he's got a lot of running yards, so probably I'm getting overly anxious about Wilson's production. But, boy, it sure would be nice if he had a rushing touchdown or two. You know, he will turn his season around fantasy-wise if and when he does that. He certainly has been good for it every year in the league so far. I have no reason to suspect he won't. But, it feels like an offensive line that's gotten better, Okung's potential absence notwithstanding. Lynch had a lot of room to run. Granted, the 49ers, but listen, the 49ers have done an okay job against other running backs, so I'm all aboard with Marshawn Lynch.
Someone asked me yesterday, or maybe the day before, and it's sad that I had to give actual consideration before I answered this question, but someone said, Andrew Luck or Jay Cutler? I mean, yeah. How far has Andrew Luck fallen that's even a debatable question at this point?
Yeah, and I mean, he wound up posting some okay fantasy numbers last week, but he did it because he dug himself a big old hole. You know, he threw a terrible early pick, and our buddy Griff Whalen, who's going to make one stupid play a week apparently forever,
he's awful.
had a fumble, and suddenly they're down, and that winds up being a game flow thing where Luck takes advantage. But, you know, the next step in his progression that people have been calling for, you know, over this past year plus has been better decisions and more accuracy. We know he's got incredible athleticism, you know, for a guy his size, and you know, he's got all the arm you'd ever want, and he's got some good weapons, but there are just too many mistakes there. I'm not starting Jay Cutler over him. You know, it's funny, when you started the question, I thought maybe you were going to say Peyton Manning and somebody, and then you're like, oh, boy. I mean, Andrew Luck, I feel like, wow, compared to Peyton Manning, he's something else, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I got to keep riding with Luck. You wouldn't think it's a great matchup against Carolina, but the talent is just so good.
And I'm playing a couple leagues where Peyton Manning has been dropped, and Fred and I were talking about this off the air, that Marcus Mariota has scored more fantasy points this year than Peyton Manning. Should you even be
– you know, I think, you know, from having watched every snap, you know, I'm watching the tape on these guys, you know, I don't think this is arm strength. I think this is – you know, maybe a weird offensive system fit a little bit, and then an offensive line that's just getting him killed. Like, he is in his life, he always had time, you know, and defenses are playing back, and they're just not afraid of the running game because the offensive line's a mess. And I see enough throw. I mean, maybe the zip throws aren't there for Manning every single time he reaches back for it, but they're there a lot. I mean, you see enough throws where you're like, okay, that's well above average in terms of arm strength, and maybe it's not there on every single throw, but listen, the upshot is exactly what you're saying, which is the point total is terrible. The performances have, you know, the last time we saw him, he was throwing picks against the Browns. You know, it could get better, but it ain't good right now.
All right, let's do our FanDuel bit that we do every week. So it's a segment sponsored by FanDuel. I'm looking for receivers under $7,000 this week.
Let's do it.
So let me throw some names out there, and you tell the people which ones you like the best. Brandon Cooks, 6,800. Saints obviously playing a little bit better, but you know, who knows who gets the ball in that offense?
It's true. I mean, you know, I sort of identified Cooks in a midseason show that we had last week as a guy who I could actually see as an interesting buy low and maybe becoming, you know, the star that we hoped he would be in the second half. I thought he was dramatically overvalued in fantasy drafts, but now that he's, you know, really bottom of the barrel in terms of people liking him, I'm intrigued. You know, I'd like to see it once, but unfortunately, you know, with DFS, you see it once and the price starts to go up.
Right. How about Stephon Diggs? Your thoughts on him? 6,700.
Yeah, I mean, right, three good games. I would say I have to rate him above Cooks because the production has been there. I have a suspicion we're still going to hear from Mike Wallace, but listen, I mean, you know, Diggs has wrested that starting job away from Charles Johnson. I think he's a really viable option.
Eric Decker, 6,400. I know he's allegedly a game time decision, but it looks like he's probably going to play. Do you even worry? You even mess with that? Or do you look at one of these other guys?
Yes. I mean, you know, the issue of picking Diggs over Decker is that Diggs is going to be owned in 30% of all entries or something like that. And, you know, you're not going to differentiate yourself much by picking him. Whereas Decker is going to scare off a lot of people. And if you happen to get lucky, he's a real good player. He's sort of a receiver 1A, and you would think that if there was work to be done against the Patriots, there's probably work to be done against the Raiders. So I don't hate him.
How about James Jones? A tough matchup at Denver, but he's been pretty consistent.
He really has, and he almost feels matchup-proof because you know you're not going to get volume from him, right? There's not a thought of 11 catches for James Jones. It's not ever going to be a DeAndre Hopkins-type situation, but there's just so much touchdown work there for him. You know, we've seen it a couple of years in the past. We've seen it this year. You know, I think I probably prefer, you know, the Diggs-Decker level probably to Jones because, like you said, the matchup is tough, but I think in a financial pinch, salary cap-wise, I could deal with Jones.
All right, one more, and this is simply because I almost have to take a receiver against the Texans, but Kendall Wright for 5,900.
Yeah, you sort of wish it was a full PPR. you know, with the half PPR in FanDuel, for me, I would say I'm probably staying away. It's Zach Mettenberger, and he certainly had his moments last year. He had a couple of moments last week, but, I mean, that Falcons-Titans game was gross, and in the end, you know, you just knew you were waiting for the Zach Mettenberger throw that would kill the team, and it came because it usually does.
In regards to the Cowboys running situation, Darren McFadden obviously had a great game last week. Looks like he's going to be the guy at least for a little while until he breaks going forward. In Seattle, it's going to be probably a tough week to use him. But do you like the prospect of Darren McFadden for the rest of the season?
I don't, but that's only because his name was Darren McFadden. If it was like another human in that uniform, I'd be like, oh, man, we're talking a potential number one back behind that line. But, you know, I think you use him until you can't use him anymore. But how many of us don't think that the other shoe is going to drop at some point? Right. You know, I mean, it's just his whole career. We're talking a decade of Darren McFadden teasing us. Is this a bad matchup? I mean, probably it is. Although Johnson Stewart did some work against Seattle a couple weeks ago. Bobby Wagner didn't play in that game. That makes a difference. In this landscape with four teams off and so many platoons, you can't convince me he's not a top 20 play this week, right? You probably also can't convince me he's a top 10 play, but listen, in some ways it's convenient because it's unfortunately the Arian Foster syndrome. Like, you use him until he breaks and you kind of expect him to break.
All right, that's Christopher Harris. Check out harrisfootball.com. Does a great podcast and just does a terrific job on fantasy football. You can follow him on Twitter at harrisfootball. Christopher, appreciate the time, and thanks for switching days with us.
Oh, no problem at all. Thanks, you guys. I hope you guys enjoy your weekend.
All right, you too, man. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. Come back, we'll have those college picks, we promise. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. On my knees, I'm waiting.
Give me a ESPN 97.5.
Monday on Compass Media Network's coverage of the NFL. It's a pivotal battle in the NFC as the Dallas Cowboys host the Seattle Seahawks. Hi, this is Jerry Recco. Join Kevin Ray, Danny White, myself for all the action as Russell Wilson and the defending NFC champs look to hand the Cowboys their fifth loss in a row. Can the Cowboys find a way to get a victory with their stars still out? It's the Seahawks and the Cowboys.
Cowboys Seahawks NFL 3:30 Sunday, presented by All American Berryman Products. Texas Iowa State College Football, 6 p.m. Saturday on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. Are you a fan of Texas sports and great vodka? Then make the MVP vodka signing event at Specs today. Vince Young, Roy Williams, TJ Ford, and BJ Johnson will be autographing bottles of MVP vodka at the downtown Specs store until 6. Make sure to grab some for your Halloween concoctions Friday at Specs on Smith Street. Specs, cheers to savings. That's my Specs, man. I wish they were going to be there after 7.
I know.
Like to
love those
better.
Guys.
Yeah. All right, so let's do college picks. I've already mentioned my first one. I'm taking Rice plus 10.5 at home tonight against Louisiana Tech.
Okay, my first. What's the number you've got on Washington State? Because I have two different numbers here, and I want to see what's reasonable. I've got a 10.5, and I've got a 12.
I'm seeing a 10.
Oh. Okay, well, I'll pull the trigger. Give me Washington State. Plus 10 at home against the Stanford Cardinal.
All right.
Good team, Stanford.
Yeah,
good team.
You know what, though? Washington State's actually playing much better football this year. All right, John, you're up.
Give me Ole Miss 7.5 at Auburn. Auburn has not covered once at home this year.
I'm going to hold my nose when I do this, but...
Fred, I just bet on a Mike Leach-led Washington State team against a top 10 team in Stanford.
Yeah. But, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to do that one. I'm going to take Oklahoma State minus 2.5 at Tech. I think Okie State wins that one. I like the over, too, 78. I know it's a big number, but I'll take Okie State.
Texas, you said minus 2.5?
Minus 2.5, yeah.
Yeah, Texas Tech was one of my last cuts. I actually think Texas Tech is going to play a game this weekend. But my second pick will be fade the Charlotte 49ers. Give me the Marshall Thundering Herd, and I'll give 17. By the way, John, just like Auburn, Charlotte has not covered the spread at home this year.
Is this like the third week you bet against Charlotte?
I think so. Yeah, I've been pretty consistent. Like, Vegas hasn't caught on to the just how bad they suck. But they're not very good.
I'm going to take the under in the Cincinnati Central Florida game. Central Florida doesn't put up that many points, and I don't think Cincinnati's going to put up like 50. Under 62.
It sounds like you kind of did some research this week.
A little bit.
Look at you.
I mean, I'm horrible at college.
I'm very very proud of you. Good job.
Well, by the way, last week I went 4-2, and I got one college right.
Okay.
Well. I'll be honest. I've been focused so much on horse racing that I haven't done any of my computer stuff this week. So These are truly for entertainment purposes only. Hopefully tonight I'll be able to sit down and do them. But with that in mind, I'll take... I'm going to go against my Hawaii at home thing.
Oh,
and I'm going to take Air Force to cover 6.5 at Hawaii.
Okay.
So Hawaii is back to really sucking.
Man, I've got two games to choose from here for my last one. It's either... People will just be pissed off if I pick against Coug.
Honestly, I can see why you would. It's a pretty good Vanderbilt defense.
I'll take Vanderbilt plus 12 against Coug.
That's too many points.
The number keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. My other one that I'm leaving off here is Old Dominion plus 24. So I feel better betting on an SEC team than betting on Old Dominion.
Yeah, I think UH wins, but it's going to be a tougher game. Although every time I think they're not going to cover, they've just destroyed people too. So, but I kind of like that pick.
And for my last pick, I was wavering on this one, but I'm going to take UConn plus the 6 against East Carolina. And I think East Carolina had kind of like their biggest game of the year last year against Temple. And then I think they're going to have a little letdown this week.
All right. East Carolina should have covered that game.
Yeah,
probably they should have. Should have won, should have covered. That was a bad beat.
Yeah, it was. But, that's a game. All right, guys, got to tell you about my good friends at Texas Mattress Makers, where you're going to save from 5 to 50% off factory prices. And that's real savings when you buy straight from the factory. And what they're doing for a couple more days here, if you're going to be able to go in and get a great mattress, you're going to get a better sleep, you're going to save a bunch of money, and you're going to be able to help out Houston Children's Charity, at least for today and tomorrow. Basically, what they're doing for every purchase of $500 or more, Texas Mattress Makers is donating a bed to a Houston child in need. There's a list of more than 20,000 under the age of 16 waiting for a bed and unable to afford it in Houston alone. So you can help out with this, and you're going to save a bunch of money. You could go to a retail store, you pay the markup, you spend way too much. Don't do that. Go to Texas Mattress Makers. You're buying it directly from the factory, from people who know everything about these mattresses. They're going to help you sleep better. They're going to custom fit it for you. You are going to feel so much better in the morning because you sleep like a champ when you go to Texas Mattress Makers. Texas Mattress Makers is at 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Tell them I sent you. I promise you they'll take care of you. They do a great job with the Blitzers. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.